outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. You simply pour a can into your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. So pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to the Wired to Hunt podcast, your home for deer hunting news, stories, and strategies. And now, your host, Mark Kenyon.
Welcome to the Wired to Hunt podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kenyon, and this is episode number 383. And today we're back with another Rut Fresh Radio episode, which means we are hearing from deer hunters all across the country about the latest deer activity, current conditions, and the tactics that are working right now. All right, welcome to the Wired Hunt podcast brought to you by Onyx. We're here for Rut Fresh Radio, which is our mini series getting up to date reports from all across the country. And you know, the name is Rut Fresh. We're here. We finally are going to get to see the rut that is in our name, hopefully. I'm hoping that's what we're going to talk about today, Spencer. Some rut-related intel, some rut-related activity reports, because between now and our next episode, sweet November is going to begin, and that's what we all dream of all year. So here we are.
That's right. A lot of the stuff you're going to hear talk about in this week's episode is pre-rut, seeking and chasing, why scrapes are awesome to look at right now, you know, how these mature bucks are going to start making their extended walkabouts, all that stuff that you associate with the end of October, and why, like, data-driven hunters really love this time of year. But we're going to talk about that in our interviews, Mark. Something that I don't touch on with too many of our guests this week, but I would love for you to talk about and go into, you know, like, some detail on, is the rutting moon and how that's coming up and, you know, what certain hunters believe that does to buck movement.
Man, this is such a funny topic, Spencer, because I like to keep tabs and pay attention to it a little bit, but I also feel a little bit guilty talking about it too much because I don't want to be misleading. We've written about it, we've put it out there, but here's the basic gist. The basic gist is that all the research out there shows that the breeding phase for white-tailed deer is primarily triggered by photoperiod, which is the amount of daylight in a 24-hour period, which is consistent by region year after year after year. So basically that means that where I hunt in Michigan, the average peak of breeding, the main time frames that kicks off the rut, that is going to be the same every year. For here, it's around mid-November is when if you imagine the number of deer that are breeding, if you were to map that out and graph it, you'd have a bell curve. You'd have some very small number that are breeding in, you know, October, and then it's going to slowly rise through November, and then somewhere around the 14th or 15th or 16th or somewhere in that ballpark will be the highest number of deer that are getting bred, and then it's going to slowly go down the further back. So, you know, across most parts of the country, that is the case. Give or move that peak, you know, this way or that way a little bit. And that essentially negates any other theories related to the moon, like the rutting moon theory, as far as do these things, does the moon somehow impact the timing of the rut? It's categorically not true that these other things impact the timing of the actual breeding phase. But what there may be some truth to is whether or not things like weather, like temperatures, or the moon might impact how much of the rut-related activity we actually see. So there's two different things we're talking about here. There's actual breeding that's going on, and then there's the rutting activity that we as hunters want to see, which is chasing, seeking, cruising, bucks, you know, moving around a lot. That's the kind of stuff we want to see, and that's the kind of stuff that happens, you know, some years it happens all day, every day. Some years you don't see it as much, or some years you see it like crazy in the early part of the month, and then for some reason it doesn't seem to be quite as action-packed the second week, maybe. And you can be stuck wondering, like, what happened? Why was the rut so awesome this year, or not so good the next year? Why is that the case when supposedly the rut's supposed to be happening at the same time? And it is happening at the same time. There's just a bunch of different factors that can influence what you see. So maybe the moon's one of those things. Maybe temperatures are one of those things. Hunting pressure could be one of those things. And then where you're actually sitting could be a big thing too, which should go without saying. But you can be sitting on one side of a property and see zero rutting activity for 3 days straight. And then you could sit 300 yards away on the other side of a property and there might be stuff going bananas for 3 days. That's how location-dependent rutting activity can be sometimes. So this is a long-winded way of trying to put a qualifier on what I'm about to tell you, which is there are a series of different theories around the moon and what kind of impact it may have on this rut time period. And so the rutting moon theory, which you brought up, is one that was popularized by Charles Elsheimer and Wayne LaRoche. They published it every year in Deer and Deer Hunting magazine. The basic gist is that supposedly the second full moon after the autumn equinox is what kickstarts this rutting activity. And then from there, you know, you've got that seeking and chasing stuff that picks up, and then, you know, the peak of breeding and the lockdown phase should happen, you know, 2 weeks after that or something, somewhere along those lines. So I don't know if that, I don't know what I think about that, because I still look at the science that states that the peak breedings happen at the same time. But I do wonder, like, maybe the timing of that moon does influence, like, how hectic and crazy the daylight portion of that is. So all that's kind of leading us to the idea that you alluded to, which is that the rutting moon this year is on October 31st. So the theory goes that when the rutting moon lines up with the same time period that we typically think of as good rutting activity, which for most people, if you have a peak breeding date of November 15th, give or take, usually it's those 2 weeks preceding that, give or take, where you see the most chasing, cruising, seeking, yada, yada, yada. So I historically am thinking, like, Halloween to the 14th of November is the best part of the year for me as far as rutting activity. And the rutting moon happens to fall right at the beginning of that, kind of perfectly in sync. So according to these guys, when that happens, you should see, like, the best possible rut. The worst case scenario is when that rutting moon is, like, super duper late. Then supposedly you'll have something they refer to as a trickle rut. I'm not going to stand by any of this stuff. All I'm going to say is that it is interesting, and if you do believe in it, it's pointing to good things for this year. Now, there are a series of other rut-related movement theories on the moon. We've talked about these throughout the rest of the year, so I won't spend too much time on them. But basically, you've got some people that think that when the moon is rising or setting in daylight, right towards the end of the day or towards the beginning of the day, that's a good thing. And this happens around the full moon. So the Drurys have talked about this. Many people have heard our podcast, the Mark Drury, he's talked about this. Well, right now they say that with that full moon hitting on October 31st, their belief is that we're going to have some particularly good evening hunts leading into the full moon, and then really good morning hunts after the full moon because of that, but not so good in the middle of the month. So they just put out a video over on their Deercast app talking about this, where they believe that we're going to have a particularly good first part of the month of November. So this phase we're coming into right now, especially those mornings. But, you know, when you get to that second or third week, it might be a little wonky. Again, I This is just what folks are saying. And then the final moon-related thing would be those that follow the red moon, which would be believing that deer movement will pick up when the moon is directly overhead or underfoot. And this year, the overhead, underfoot, red moon days, I think the first one happens between like November 3rd and the 7th. So somebody like Adam Hayes, who's a big believer in this, he would tell you that that's when the running activity is going to be the very best. It's a lot to try to take in and process. I don't think anyone's done a very good job of truly quantifiably correlated it in a way other than just anecdotal evidence. So I always look at the calendar and I let that dictate when I'm going to hunt. That last week of October and the first 2 weeks of November are hard to beat. If I have to pick my days more carefully, I'm going to pick the colder days and the fronts. But I'm going to spend every moment I can out there because anything's possible during the rut. And ladies and gentlemen, it's here.
I'm with you, Mark. You did a great job there of going through all the different moon theories. And I've always likened like my stance on the moon and deer behavior as the same thing of how I think about like Bigfoot. I am wildly interested in stories about Bigfoot, and I will eat it up and I will consume like any TV show or article or anything about Bigfoot, but I don't believe that he's real. And it's the same thing with the moon and deer behavior. I'm really interested in this stuff. I look forward to looking at the moon phases every year, and I want to know what the moon is going to be doing, but ultimately it doesn't really change what I'm doing in the woods, and I don't think it changes deer behavior. So, gun to my head, no, I don't think Bigfoot is real, and no, I don't think it's ever helped me kill a deer or prevented me from killing a deer. But it's still really like fun content to take in, and think about. And it's just like maybe another piece of the puzzle for deer hunting.
And for whatever it's worth, there are a lot of very good, very successful deer hunters that swear by it. And they would tell you and me that we're a couple knuckleheads. So, I mean, take it for whatever it's worth. And, if it helps you get out there, more power to you. I can tell you that moon, regardless, it's the time of year when you should be seeing sign popping up like crazy, and you should see bucks starting to cruise and checking out does and starting to bump them around and stuff. And that's what I've been seeing over the last week. It is ramping up big time. I'm seeing young bucks chasing a lot. I'm seeing those two-year-olds starting to get out and looking around, a bunch of cruising. I'm seeing sparring. I'm seeing scrapes everywhere. And even a couple daylight sightings / trail camera pics of my target mature buck. So he's on his feet already. So it's on in Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of reasons to love the end of October. Rutting moon be damned. Like, there's going to be seeking and chasing. Sign making is going to peak here shortly. This is a great time to use a decoy or do some calling. And the coolest part is that the best is yet to come. I think that's maybe why I love the end of October so much, because deer movement is great and it's only going to get better. And that's what you're going to hear from the hunters we talk to this week. That includes Mike Fitzgerald from bowhunting.com in Minnesota, Trey Kearns from Release Outdoors in West Virginia, Clay Newcomb, the newest member of Meat Eater in Arkansas, and then TJ Unger from the Virtue TV in Indiana.
Awesome. Sounds like a good slate. Are you going to be able to get out in here anytime soon, Spencer?
Yeah, Mark, in a couple days, I'm heading back to South Dakota. I'll be there for about 14 days or so, and then when I get back, I have a couple weeks to fill my Montana tag. So the next 3 weeks here, hopefully I have some more personal rut updates for you.
Nice. All right, man. Well, I'll be grinding it out in Michigan, and hopefully we'll have a good story as well. I'm right there. I'm right on the edge of it. He's there. He's just in the opposite place where I'm at. The old cat and mouse game has started already, Spencer. So we'll see.
All right, Mark. I think we get to our callers, and I will talk to you in November.
Sounds good.
All of this week's interviews are presented by Trophy Ridge. Make sure to check out their full lineup of sights featuring their React technology. After only 2-pin adjustments, React technology delivers dead certain accuracy at any distance. I have a Trophy Ridge React Trio sight, and it's perfect for Western hunting, whitetail hunting, and everything in between. To see the React Trio and everything else from the React technology line, head over to trophyridge.com. All right, and joining us on the line next is Mike Fitzgerald from Bow Hunt or Die in Minnesota. Now, Mike, in Minnesota, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
On a scale of 1 to 10 the last week or so, I would probably give it about a 7. It's been hot some days, cold some other days, but we've definitely had a early start to our winter. We've had snow on the ground up here since the 17th. We're getting another 3 or 4 inches right now, so it looks a lot more like late November than it does late October. But after that first snowfall, about a day or two later, there was a two-day stretch about the 19th and 20th where all my cameras just lit up daytime buck activity. They were out cruising hard then. So it's been good. There's been a couple slow days in between, but we're on that ramp up of when you have time to get in the woods, get in the woods.
When you have winter come early in the big woods, how does that change things for food sources as we get into the rut?
Well, as we approach the rut, we're, you know, generally getting close to transition time up here anyway. But when it comes this early, I'm already seeing doe groups kind of shift where they're at. They're already transitioning to mostly woody browse. You know, the late fall, a lot of times we'll see, especially as the rut approaches, you'll see a lot of deer along the ditches and medians feeding on that grass, and that grass is already buried, and they're already kind of moving away from those and getting into their kind of winter haunts. The nice thing about the snow is you can utilize it to your advantage, and you know where they've been and how far or how long ago they were there. So it's a good tool to have, even though it's kind of seems harsh that it's happening already.
Are you seeing a lot of sign making right now in northern Minnesota?
I've been seeing a few rubs here and there. Scrape activity for me has been really low this year. That could very well just be my little pocket, but I haven't found much evidence of fresh scraping so far. And with the snow cover again, I'm not entirely sure if that has a big impact on how much scraping they'll do. But once the snow hits the ground, I rarely find scrapes in our area here.
When you're hunting the big woods, will you do any calling or decoying like hunters in the Midwest, or is that not a tactic that you use?
It's certainly a tactic you can use. I tend to be a little cautious about it. But calling in particular, I don't like to blind call a whole lot. When the rut really gets going and they're most receptive to rattling, I'll do that sometimes. But when it comes to grunting and bleating, most of the time I'm only doing that if I lay my eyes on deer and I'm trying to get them to change their path. It's just up here, I could have deer 30 yards from me and not really know they're there until they step out into my shooting lanes. And so I don't like to surprise anything that I know or don't know maybe looking at me. So I tend to lay off of calling unless I have the deer in my sights. But I've had a few bucks responding already to some light grunting. So it's definitely a tactic I use, but I don't go in guns blazing, that's for sure.
You mentioned that your trail cameras have been lighting up lately. Where do you place a lot of your trail cameras during pre-rut?
A lot of the time, my favorite spot to have them are on ridge tops, either between or near doe bedding areas. So if I find thick cover that has a nice ridge run going along it, that's where a lot of my cameras are these days. And that's certainly one of my favorite cameras is in a spot just like that, and that's the one that really lit up over a 2 or 3 day chunk earlier in the week, and I'm planning on hunting that in the next day or two too, because I'm seeing some similar conditions coming up weather wise
going forward. Then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Minnesota?
In northern Minnesota here, I definitely think we're on the rise here. So I think an 8 or 9 in this next week. I think once this front comes through, the next couple of days will be golden. And then as we get through the Halloween weekend, we're just getting closer and closer to the main part of the rut. And it's hard to convince me that it's not a good idea to be in the woods at any point from this coming week on.
All right, Mike, well, good luck and stay warm. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Spencer. Have a good one.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Trey Kearns in West Virginia from Release Outdoors. Now, Trey, in West Virginia, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd say it's been a 4, mainly just because of the abnormal warm weather we've had in October. It's been, you know, rather warm, and I just feel like those deer haven't really been on their feet in the daylight hours, so it's been pretty minimal.
When do you expect to start seeing some mature bucks moving in daylight then in West Virginia?
I feel like this weekend and next week are really going to start transitioning. Really have been seeing some activity on the cell cameras as far as deer starting to get closer to that daylight moving. But I feel like this week and next week, it's really going to start picking up.
Are you seeing a lot of sign making right now?
Yeah, things were getting pretty slow through the first half of October, but the later half have definitely picked up. And I feel like scrapes are really starting to get opened up. And this week, you know, I've seen a lot of activity over the last week, and this week over the course of my cell camera activity on those scrapes. So yeah, they're really starting to pick up the movement.
You mentioned that your cell cameras are on scrapes right now. Is that where you place most of your trail cameras during pre-rut?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I try to focus, Spencer. I mean, I just feel like, you know, that's my bread and butter towards the later half of October, and having those cameras on those scrapes, it really allows me to see what deer are in the area and then what deer are also moving in. So it kind of gives me a good pinpoint in what I'm working towards these, you know, next couple weeks that I call that really good period of time.
Are calling or decoying things that you'll use in West Virginia? And what do those setups look like when you're doing that?
So not a whole lot of decoying, but as far as like calling and sequencing, I've been doing a lot of that. And then and rattling is a big thing. I've seen a lot of progress and through rattling the last couple of years and doing that. So, but I haven't really had the opportunity to do any decoys, and I don't think I really have or will in West Virginia, just based on the topography and how things lie. We don't have a whole lot of ag. So really focusing on just vocals and communicating in that aspect really helps us out.
With a lack of ag, what food sources are you then focused on?
So we've had a really good production of acorn mass this year, really trying to focus on white oaks and red oaks. And then also we try to establish some smaller plots, and, you know, people call those kill plots or whatever, but we just try to establish a late season food source through the later half of the year. And then right now we're really still focusing on acorn, just because the mass production we had this year was so large that we're trying to just focus on that. And then over these next couple of weeks, we'll kind of transition into trying to get on that downwind side of those bedding areas as well.
Do you notice a shift in bedding at all, whether that's from bucks or does in West Virginia as we approach November?
I don't see a huge transition on where they're changing their bedding areas. I feel like, you know, as a mature deer gets older, you know, its core area really shrinks down. So I think those deer are still bedding in the same area, but you'll get them hopefully on their feet in daylight hours if you're, you know, in the right spot, and just try to hunt that wind and stay on the downwind side, because that's what those big bucks are going to do. They're going to try to transition on the downwind side of that bedding area and check for that hot doe. So that's kind of where we try to put ourselves in this time of year. And if you can get those, not those big community scrapes, but those ones that are really interior, close to those big bedding areas, that's kind of where we try to focus and kind of meet somewhere in the middle there.
Going forward then, in this next week or so, what do you think the buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in West Virginia?
I think it's going to be a 9. I think it's really going to pick up as far as, you know, scrapes are still getting opened up, but I really think that the hot doe is going to come in more frequently, and I think those deer are really going to start moving around a little bit, and those big bucks and mature deer are going to start transitioning and checking those downwind sides and really trying to pin some deer down. So I think it's going to be really awesome. So.
All right, Trey, have a good rut and good luck. Thanks for joining me.
All right, Spencer. Thank you.
All right, and joining us on the line next is the newest member of the Meat Eater team, Clay Newcomb in Arkansas. Now, Clay, in Arkansas, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
So in the last couple of days, Spencer, I would put it at about 6. And my reasoning is I've hunted a portion of almost every day for about the last 9 days. And yesterday afternoon was the first time that I saw a mature buck tending the doe. I mean, he was out at 3:30 in the afternoon, and he was on that doe. He wasn't dogging her and chasing her. He was just with her, wasn't leaving her. And that's the first mature buck I've seen do that this year.
With how much you've been hunting lately, have you noticed any difference in mornings versus evenings, with one being better than the other in late October?
I have not noticed a ton of difference between morning and evening. I really haven't. Movement has been odd. We've had some big rain events. Like right now, it's raining hard in Arkansas, and it's been raining hard almost 24 hours. And I think it's got the deer moving in these breaks in the rain. And so movement has been odd. Like last night, the last 2 hours after I saw that big buck, I hardly saw any deer, and I anticipated it being great. Saw deer movement early in the afternoon yesterday, but it was kind of a break in the rainfall.
Clay, I know that acorns are a big focus of your hunts for not only deer, but turkeys and bear and everything else in that part of the country. Tell us a little bit about how to identify the difference between a red oak and a white oak and why that matters to hunters.
So this year in the Ozarks, all this region, there's a ton of red oak acorns. And white oak acorns are typically the preferred food source right now. If there are white oak acorns on the ground, they're being preferred by all game and eaten up relatively quickly. This year, there's a ton of red oaks. I mean, the spotted oaks and Schumard oaks, that's what we have a lot of here, they're raining acorns, man. I mean, just carpets of acorns. And that's what the deer are hitting on. And so basically a red oak is going to have pointed lobes. It's going to have bristles. And white oaks are going to have rounded lobes. And those are the two bigger categories of oaks that we have in the eastern U.S. is white oaks, red oaks. Inside of both those categories, there are a lot of different species. But the white oaks are almost always going to be the preferred food source. That's the easiest thing. It's points on the tips of the leaves means red oak, rounded lobes means white oak.
During pre-rut and rut in the big woods of Arkansas, are you using any scents for whitetail?
The only thing that I use for scents for whitetail, Spencer, is I like to use doe urine as a cover scent, synthetic doe urine. We have to use that here in Arkansas as a cover scent. I put it on my boots. And I don't put it on my boots so that a deer will follow me to my stand. I put it on my boots so that a deer will ignore me, because that is what I have seen extensively. So I'm not using it as an attractant. I'm using it as something to cover up my ground scent. And the other thing that I like to do, and I've just seen it work so many times and buy me a couple of deer, is it sounds hokey, but I pour out a daub of synthetic doe urine out of my stand and just let it hit the ground once I'm up in the tree. And if a deer cuts my wind, he's going to smell my human scent at the same time it smells a big dose of a new deer scent. And it confuses them. If they smell human scent, bam, they're gone. I've seen deer stall out and even walk through my scent. And I feel like it's because of that doe urine. So I like to do that.
What are you seeing right now for sign making in the Ozarks?
Bucks are making tons of sign. I feel like the big mature bucks are with the early does that are coming into estrus. We've got a fairly big breeding window here. And so there are does in estrus right now. And just like I saw yesterday, I think some of the bigger deer are with those deer. The other deer that aren't with that doe are making a ton of sign and checking scrapes. I checked a camera over a scrape 2 days ago, and it had had three different bucks to it in 24 hours. And the prior 24 hours to that, or the prior probably 72 hours to that, there had only been one or two bucks to it. So that was the 25th of October. Notable increase in scraping activity, primarily with the younger bucks, but they are making a lot of sign right now.
Going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Arkansas?
It's going to be at a 10. This is the best week, you know, from about Halloween till about the 7th of November here is just historically the best time. Our peak breeding dates for Northwest Arkansas from, you know, fawn conception studies that they've done over the years is right around the 5th to the 7th of November. So it's a little bit of an early rut. So, you know, right during, you know, right before that, man, we can have some great rut activity. So this week we're having good weather. It's not going to be super cold, but it's not going to be overwhelmingly warm. Highs in the 50s, dipping down into the 40s at night. It's going to be good weather. I mean, if we're ever going to have a 10, it's going to be this week.
All right, Clay. Well, good luck with the rest of your season. Welcome to the Meat Eater team, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Spencer. Appreciate it, man. Good luck to you.
All right, and joining us on the line next is TJ Unger in Indiana from the Virtue TV. Now, TJ, in Indiana, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
Spencer, thanks for having me on. Yeah, man, buck activity is starting to increase. I'd probably rate it today about a 5. Starting to see, you know, young bucks on their feet pretty regularly during daytime hours. So we're seeing 2 and 3 year olds that are moving pretty heavily now. So things are ramping up to be a pretty solid next, you know, 6-7 days.
When do you expect to start seeing those mature bucks on their feet in daylight?
We have some pretty consistent meteorological conditions right now. So we had a big cold front push in on Friday, and it's been pretty consistent weather. A little bit of rain mixed in, just super light rain. Moon phase is really solid. So I think every single day things are improving. So going into this weekend, gosh, it's only Wednesday, but, you know, I'm expecting a really good Saturday, Sunday here in Indiana. So I'm in northeast portion of the state, but yeah, looking at the extended forecast, consistently cold temps, and that moon phase is looking pretty solid. So I would not be surprised here over the next 2-3 days if I'm seeing real mature deer up on their feet and at least on trail cameras.
You haunt a textbook state, and I imagine some textbook farms for doing some decoying. Is that a strategy that you'll use during pre-rut?
It is. I've already been using, I've got a Dave Smith, so I've already been using the decoy probably for the last week and a half. You know, we're really not looking to kill does. So, you know, sometimes you get a little bit of weird interaction with does, but have already had some good interaction with young bucks. So I think it was a week ago, had an encounter with 2.5-year-old and then followed by a 3.5-year-old come out in the field and just kind of bow up to him, get a little bit aggressive. But, you know, I'm still planning on, actually, I'm cleaning up and packing up right now, planning to head to the stand, and I'm taking the decoy with me. So now is the time in my book. You know, obviously things change from one state or one farm to the next, but if you've got pretty high, you know, competition on your farm, good buck ratio, you know, now's the time. I'm putting them out there and letting them do the work. I'm still doing a little bit of light rattling. I haven't got too aggressive with it, but yeah, man, this is the light switch for me, and it's time to go.
Do you think that sign making has peaked yet in Indiana?
So I mentioned that we're getting some light rain. So it's about every 2 to 3 days that we're just getting, you know, it's less than a quarter inch of rain. The reason why I bring that up, you know, with any precipitation like that, kind of washes out on those signposts. So community scrapes and whatever, it just gives these bucks another opportunity to freshen up the scrapes and communicate with each other who's the boss. So, you know, over the course of the last 2 or 3 days, those signposts have really picked up pretty substantially. So if you follow me on social, I keep posting pictures of new scrapes or freshly cleaned out scrapes. It's happening, you know, every 2 days, which is pretty great. You know, I think, like I said, I think we're going to see that transition to daylight activity any day now. I really expect to see the first does probably come into estrus, like I said, over the next maybe 2-3 days, something like that. But wouldn't be surprised if we see it a little bit sooner.
I saw on a recent Instagram post that you posted what would be a classic community scrape. Tell us, TJ, about how community scrapes differ from other scrapes and how that factors into a hunt.
Yeah, so I picked up several new farms in the off season, and just kind of looking at the topography of this one particular farm. Never hunted it before, but just based on topography and it connects to, you know, some pretty big timber, really made a mock scrape relatively early in this area, and put cell camera on it in video mode. And over the course of maybe 5 days, something like that, I had 20 different bucks roll through that scrape. Now, varying ages, obviously, but they're just making their routes at nighttime and communicating with each other. Obviously, as you know, their hormone levels change, you know, they're putting that scent down. And in my opinion, a little bit early, they're telling each other they'll be back and kind of marking their own territory and figuring out these main routes. But because so many deer travel through that section, it's just an excellent way for everybody to keep tabs on each other. I mean, those are still hitting them. Those still check them a little bit, but as testosterone levels continue to peak, man, there's a lot of bucks hitting these community scrapes. So I actually transitioned from food sources and you know, travel routes and that sort of thing over to scrapes a little bit early this year. Historically, I felt like I was always late. You know, I would find a scrape, pop a camera on it, and, you know, I would only get a day or so where it was good activity. So this year I popped them up a little bit early on scrapes. It was a little slow to begin with, but we hit them right this year. And just about every one of those big community scrapes that we've got them on are very, very, very active. So it's great to see. It's exciting. Just need to get these big rascals in daylight.
Last year, harvest in the Midwest was way behind, and it made for a difficult rut. What's the status of harvest in Indiana this year?
So harvest has actually been pretty early this year. We had all of our surrounding neighbors and the farms that we're on, they are cleared of crops already. So that was happening, you know, the first part of October when farmers were really hitting the fields. You know, I remember years past hunting in mid-November and still seeing standing corn, which makes it really difficult. Those bucks can pull those does out in the standing corn and really just live out there. So, you know, it reduces habitat for these guys. And it's been great. You know, like I said, it's pushed these animals into the timber. So, so far as sign and that sort of thing, I'm seeing a lot more sign in the woods than I am outside of the woods. So, right when that corn comes off, I think that deer have more tendency to feed, you know, right with that fresh corn, and then they kind of wean back to their typical patterns. But we also have just an absolute banner year for acorns. So on the majority of my farms, I'm seeing just a ton of acorns. So that in timber activity has been pretty high. I've seen a lot of signposts and scrapes coming up inside those areas, kind of on south facing slopes and bedding areas that are bordering big oak flats.
Going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Indiana?
Going into this weekend, we're hitting that golden time of year. November is almost upon us. So this is my very favorite time to be in the woods. To this point, I've stayed on edges, so I'm jumping into my more aggressive spots. I expect it. I'm not going to call it a 10, but I would expect to see it somewhere around 7 to 8. I expect to see some good deer on their feet in daylight hours and, you know, starting to seek out some first does coming into estrus cycle.
All right, TJ, I like your optimism. Good luck with the rest of your season, and thanks for joining me.
Really appreciate it, brother. You have good luck, too, and stay safe.
And that concludes this week's episode of Rut Fresh Radio. Thanks to Mike, Clay, Trey, and TJ for joining me, and thank you guys for listening. As always, make sure you're following Wired to Hunt on Facebook and Instagram, and following me, Spencer Newharth, on Facebook and Instagram as well. The next time I talk to you guys, it is going to be November, and I'm so excited for the 11th month of the year. Until then, stay Wired to Hunt.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. You simply pour a can into your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. So pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.